In this session, I'm going to concentrate on legato and some ways of thinking about how to improve our legato singing, how to develop our legato singing, and how to approach the balance between legato and articulation of the text. And for that, I would like to work on the opening bars of the Schicksalslied. There are many, many parts of this program that require the same attention to legato. In fact, one could almost think that it applies to absolutely every note that we sing, but certainly the beginning of the Schicksalslied is one of those. Okay, so in your the bass entry at the beginning of page do you have page numbers? Just page 3 for you, and bar 34. You've just been listening to the alto singing. Etc. And they finish their phrase. So let's sing our first note the same way as in that the first session on the Brahms opening chords. A very similar relaxed and resonant. But now let's sing our line on lu, 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 very resonant and legato. Here we go. 3, 4. Legato. One more time, but then you could also loop that part of the tape and just practice that 3 or 4 times. Here we go. 3, 4. And at this stage in the process, you'll maybe have noticed that I'm not being particularly fussy about where I breathe. Breathing often, as often as you need at this stage, then we can work on governing our breath. And of course, in the choir, when you're governing your breath, you have colleagues to cover for you if you breathe in one place or another, and we can stagger the breathing. So at the moment, I'm working on this, getting this nice loose and open resonance. And in a later session, when I'm going plan to talk to you about using the line tapes for more than just note learning, this is something you can do. Put it on play, slow it down, and just sing your line as legato as you can, and in as easy and fluid and flowing a way as you can. And you slow the tape down until that's stress-free. Very, very useful. Now, what happens when we add the text to this? Ihr wandelt droben im Licht, auf weichem Boden, selige Genien. of course, we want to hear it, but we don't want to break up the legato. And I have an analogy that I like to use for this, which is that if you imagine a cello or a violin, let's imagine a violin, it's easier to show. Your bowing arm, your bow is the equivalent of the vowels when we're singing. The bow, like the vowels, carries the tone. And if you imagine then the consonants of the words being articulated by the fingers, you don't have need to stop the bow in order to articulate a new consonant. You can, but you don't have to. And it's the same with singing. So we could choose between which might be appropriate to some styles and some music, but not here. This time here, we're keeping the bow moving, we're keeping the vowels continuous and articulating them with the consonants, like so. Interesting there, I breathed before selige genien und before auf, and I didn't have trouble with my breath. And I think that it is when you also have the words there, the control of the monitoring of the control of the breath or the natural places to breathe make themselves clear, make themselves obvious. Okay. There are two little parts of that tape as well, which I think you would find quite valuable to as a warm-up to legato singing without text, and then with text, you could just put that section on repeat and sing those two versions as an exercise. Before we move on to a little bit of Vaughan Williams, this chord on the same page at letter C would be a good place to apply the same treatment as in our first session on the first movement of the Brahms. How to be, or to prepare to be ready with the G as the root of a new harmony, G major, having been in E flat, and have it very natural and confident. So we've just finished. Now, I'm just, because it's a particular few bases, I'm just going to show you something, see if this will come across in this circumstance. But there's a chord of E flat, and if I'm going to sing the G, so that's a G. I'm singing it as the third of an E flat chord. I'm not playing it now. Let's play a G major chord. I don't know if you can hear it from there. I can feel it very strongly. It's a noticeable amount higher. Now, we don't want it to be a physics lesson. We don't want it to be an intellectual process. What we do want is it to be something, again, incorporated. And what I say, you've heard me use this word before, this G is very buoyant when we come to the chord at C. compared with how it would be in the E flat chord at the beginning. So let's do as we did in the session on the first movement of Brahms. I'm going to play the two bars in between. In fact, as you're the bassist, what you will do, you can sing with me. Listen to the piano and then come in on your chord at C. Here we go. One, two. Are coming in on. Let's do that again. And a way that you can practice that also, put that last little piece of tape on a loop or repeat it and come in on this note at C in three different ways, like this. And I find when I practice it like that I naturally put the gl just before the beat so that we get the sound of the chord where it should be. And it just happens naturally. So you can hear that the gl came just before the sound of the piano, and that's where it should be, especially with an unvoiced consonant. Now, there are loads of places in Vaughan Williams as well where you might like to work on this idea of legato, and also not just the Brahms maybe is a little more about legato and beautiful, intense quality of piano and mezzo piano. The Vaughan Williams, we need to be able to as is in the text, burst forth a little. So let's go to toward the unknown region, and it's and page 17, for example, 16. I beg your pardon, 16. There's a note for you basses. You may or may not have been singing this top F with the tenors, but you're going to hear then and like a vowel machine, huh? Feeling like they're resonant, not forced. Never akin to to shouting, all resonant. Let's do that again, shall we? Do lululu. And your first note. Find one of the keys to being able to keep that resonance and looseness and maintain control of your breath is to remember when you're taking a breath, you're not tight. You know, when we do in warm-ups, when we get that like release or splat, as I sometimes call it from Janice Chapman, you know, that stops you from ending up like this. I'm wondering why you can only sing half a bar. Is it loose and stress-free? And then as we did before, let's add the text without breaking up that sound. If this was me giving myself a practice session, I would go back to lululu now, because I was a bit tight as I sang that. But you'll let me off. I'm not going to use up your time by doing it again, but it helps to realize, oh no, that was a little bit too much stress involved there. Not quite enough body work. I'll be showing you in our final session of this series how we might bring these techniques to the ways in which we use the line tapes, which are all available on the website.